Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1, speaking about a father's example here. Matthew chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Adam to David are 14 generations. From David unto the carrying away unto Babylon are 14 generations. And the carrying away unto Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, there are many people today that husbands and fathers are unnecessary. There's a great deal of effort being made to undermine marriage and claiming that masculinity is a toxic element in our society today. You know, is it any wonder that we've got men dressing up as women and competing against women in sports with that kind of a mentality so prevalent in our society today? But you know, God's got a different view about masculinity. Let me just go to a couple of verses here. Look at 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2. This is King David speaking to his son Solomon as he's about to turn the kingdom over to him. And David says this, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. David was concerned that his son Solomon would be a masculine individual. Show yourself a man. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Now I know this is not about Israel. It's actually about the Philistines. But the thing that makes this interesting is that the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 16:13 uses the same kind of admonition to the church at Corinth. But here in 1 Samuel 4 and verse 9, it says this, Be strong, quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as I have been to you, quit yourselves like men and fight. So the Philistines, as they're facing the Israelites, are challenging their men. Hey, you better suck it up, boys. Get in there, be men, fight. Like I said, in 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul uses the same thing. Quit yourselves like men, be strong. So this idea of a masculinity is supported in the scriptures. God's got a viewpoint on this, as he has about marriage and so many other things. And you know, a father's role is important. I think more and more we're realizing just how much so when you have a lot of children growing up without a father figure in the home. It undermines the strength of the family and the productiveness of the children. But what's interesting is that God chose the father figure to represent himself. In the disciples' prayer there in Matthew chapter 6, he says, pray in this manner, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven. God repeatedly puts himself in that role in his relationship to us as a father. The role of a father is that of a leader, a provider, and a protector. It's an important role. And you know, just like the man in our text here in Matthew chapter 1, sometimes kind of overlooked, kind of in the background. You know, I used to say that probably the most useless individual at a wedding is the father of the bride. Then I realized there's somebody even more useless than him, the father of the groom. Because at least the father of the bride gets to give the child, the girl away and so forth. But, you know, the father of the groom, you just sit down and shut up. Don't even be seen. You don't have, let alone be heard, you know. But it's kind of like Joseph. I mean, how much attention did Joseph really get when you think about the birth of Jesus Christ? All the focus is upon Mary, and rightfully so, on Jesus Christ himself. But Joseph played an important role in the eternal plan and purpose of God. And I want to take a moment this morning to look at Joseph. And we go back to Matthew chapter 1 and look at verse 19 again. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 19. It says this of Joseph, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. That's quite a statement. God calls him a just man. You know, there's a few other people, it's a pretty elite group that God refers to as just. Go to Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. Verse 8, let's start there. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah was a just man. He was the man that as God looked down upon the earth and saw that everybody had corrupted themselves. And it says earlier in this chapter that the imagination of every man's heart was only evil continually. And out of that, Noah found grace and stood out. Because God says, there's a just man. There's a man that I can use to start all over again with. And that's exactly what he did. Every living human being on the face of the earth perished in that flood, except for Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Eight people survived that flood, plus the animals that they brought onto the ark with them, because he was a just man. Look at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. The just man is a man of integrity. And that integrity results in a blessing upon his children as well. Dads, we need to be just men. But let's look at a couple more. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 20. Mark 6:20. For Herod feared John, this is John the Baptist, knowing that he was a just man and holy and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. John the Baptist, a just man. He lost his head for it, but he was a godly individual. Cousin of Jesus Christ himself, the forerunner of him. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. The man that when Jesus Christ's parents brought him into the temple or the synagogue to be circumcised, he met him there and pronounced a prophecy about him, a just man. Joseph is in good company as a just man. How important it is that we be just, upright, honest, conformed to the truth is what it means. And you think about this just man, he's espoused, or as we would, similar, not the same, but similar to an engagement. The promise has been made that Mary would become his wife at some date. And she's been away for 6 months. Think about this now, guys. She's been gone for 6 months, this woman who has promised to him, and she comes back, and she's with child. And he knows he's not had anything to do with it. What would you do? That'd be rough, wouldn't it? But he's a just man. And we get to our next point here. He's agonizing over the decision. You know, he has suffered public shame. Because how do you explain like this from a human standpoint? We know it's not from a human standpoint. We know she's with child of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing salacious that's going on here. But how do you explain that to people that don't believe? And you know how the tongues wag? Right? Just like they do today, they did back in that day as well. Everybody's got an opinion. Whether they have any facts or not, they've got an opinion about it. And this man is suffering a public shame. But he's a just man. And he's struggling with the decision about this. And look again at Matthew chapter 1 here. Verse 19 again. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put away privately. The law allowed him to do some things here. He could have shamed her publicly. But he's not going to do that because he's a just man. And he's struggling. He's compassionate toward her. And secondly, this, he's a patient man. I got to tell you, I'm not. Especially raising our 5 kids, there were times when I was much less than patient. And I'm ashamed of that. I'm sorry for that. And my children bore some problems because of that. But Joseph was a patient man. He's taken time with this decision. Instead of reacting, he's considering what to do so he can act properly. And he's thinking about this thing. And how do I handle this? What's the just thing to do in this circumstance? Look at Ephesians chapter 6. This kind of touches on our study from prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You know, I know I've been guilty of that. But Paul, in writing to fathers, makes it a point to call us out on that, because it seems to be a problem inherent in all of us. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. This just man, this compassionate man, is taking some time and making the right decision here. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Dads, we're sometimes too quick to go to battle with our kids, instead of stepping back, thinking about what we're doing. You know, take a breath, take a walk, take a hike, whatever's needed to deal with the thing properly. Patience. Look at Titus chapter 2. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. He says, guys, we need to be temperate. We need to be patient, sound in the faith, sober, acting reasonably, righteously, not provoking those kids to wrath. Because that's our temptation. Because we want to fix it, and we want to fix it right now. And sometimes you need to take a step back. But Joseph is doing just that very thing. Not willing to make a public example. Well, how can I deal with this in a way that is right, but at the same time is dealing with it? And he's patiently addressing this thing. The third thing is this. I believe Joseph was a spiritual man. Look at verse 20. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The first thing he's doing is he's seeking God's direction in this thing. And God gives him the direction. And James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That's not something God is ever going to chide you for asking, wisdom. God, what's the right thing to do in this situation? What's the just thing? How can I be patient and compassionate in dealing with this situation? He's seeking God's direction and wisdom. And he's praying. And he falls asleep. We'll get to that in a moment. But the second thing about this, about Joseph, is he was faithful to the house of God. This was a man that understood the role that the synagogue, or for us, the church, plays in the life of a family. It's not just something man created. This is God's design. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 that God gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the work of the ministry. God ordained this whole thing. And he's a purpose in that. And Joseph was faithful to that. Look over at Luke chapter 2. Couple of, not a lot, but there are a couple of examples that I believe that illustrate this for us. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. So just according to the Old Testament law, that's what Joseph and Mary are doing as this child is born. Verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. So 8 days old, they're in church getting the child circumcised according to the Old Testament law. But then watch this, verse 22. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons they were to bring. That didn't happen when he was circumcised. The circumcision was within 8 days. But it says the days of her purification. If you go back to Leviticus and chapter 12, it tells you that the days of purification when a male was born was 30 days. So this is 30 days later, they're back in the synagogue, according to the law, following what God prescribed for them to do. Now drop down to verse 41 of Luke chapter 2. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So every year, all males were required to come to Jerusalem on the feast of Passover. There were two other feasts. They were required to do the same thing as well. And I assume if Joseph did this on Passover, he did it on those two other feasts as well. He was faithful to the house of God, what God expected him to do. Dads, don't just send your family to church. Come with them. Be that example. Show them what God wants for you to do as well as for them. But the third thing is this, and we'll go back to Matthew 21 or Matthew 1 again now. He sought God's direction and wisdom. He was faithful to the house of God, and he was obedient. He's got word. She's with child. He knows it's not his. God, what do I do about this? How do I handle this thing? Look at verse 24 of Matthew chapter 1. It says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. What was that that he was bidden? Back up to verse 21 again. Or verse 20. But he shall, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, so he's fallen asleep, praying, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by, of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So he gets this dream. God's telling him what he needs to do as he's been seeking that counsel from God. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord said. In spite of the shame that he's bearing, the reproach of the community, the stigma attached to this, he follows through what God told him to do. That was the most important thing to him, obedience to his God, the one who he has served his entire life up to this point. He listened to God. Folks, this is God's word. This is the only thing we have from heaven. The only tangible thing we have from heaven. And when you sit down to read the pages of this book, this is the voice of God communicating to you and me. We need to hearken to what God says. If it says, if thus saith the Lord, then thus doeth I. is the way it ought to be. And we need to be students of this book. This whole thing here, he goes into detail about what's taking place is exactly what was prophesied hundreds, sometimes thousands of years before. That there's going to be a child. And his name is going to be Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God became that little baby there. And all of that was prophesied. And there's people that scoff at that. There's people that joke about it. There's people that joke about the relationship of Joseph and Mary. But the truth is, God did this. And God did this for you and I so that we could have salvation. And we need to hearken to what God has given to us in this book and be obedient to it as Joseph was, and dads especially, as an not only for our own benefit, but as an example to our children and our wives. He was obedient. He was a spiritual man. But fourthly, I want you to see this. Joseph was a hard worker. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 55. Start at verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, inasmuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? He hasn't been to our colleges. He hasn't studied under our rabbis. Where did he learn all this? And then notice how they respond. Verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? He's that carpenter's son. Joseph was known in the community, and his work was what identified him. It wasn't the drunkard's son. It wasn't the womanizer's son. It was the carpenter's son. That's a tough job, folks. Some of you guys know firsthand how tough that can be. And that's what Joseph was, and that's what identified him. And he brought his kids up in that as well. He was a hard worker. He was a faithful worker. We need to be hard workers. And my dad died when I was 27 years old. He and my mom were killed in an accident. I'd been saved 3 years. My dad was an alcoholic, 49 years old when he died. And there's certainly a lot of bad things I could tell you about my dad. But I'll tell you what, he's a hard worker. He worked two and even three jobs sometimes to put food on the table for myself and my five siblings. And even though he might be out till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning at the bar rooms, 6 o'clock came, he was up going to work. Not until maybe the last couple years did he miss a day or here or there because he'd been out drinking till late, early in the morning hours. And that's one thing he taught me as well. You're gonna work for somebody, work for them. Don't just stand around leaning on a broom. If you got nothing else to do, use that thing. Sweep the floor. Keep busy. That's what this country needs, is some young people that are willing to work. You talk to anybody that employs people. Bob can tell you. It's hard to get somebody that wants to work. That they won't even show up for the interviews half the time. We need to be hard workers ourselves. We need to teach our children to give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. That's what Joseph was. He was a hard worker. And the final point is this. You think about this. This boy that's born to the woman that he's espoused to is not his son. He has not produced this child, let's put it that way. But he was a father. And he raised this boy. He took him to the synagogue. He taught him. He gave him a career. The carpenter's son. And it was the man, this man Joseph, this just man Joseph, was the man that God chose to be the human father figure in his life growing up. There's things I don't understand about the Trinity. Jesus Christ prayed to the Father, but he was still God, just as much God as God the Father and God the Holy Ghost. But somehow there was some way that they could serve as separate persons in the Godhead at the same time. I don't understand all that, but I believe it because it's recorded here. And God chose for Joseph to fulfill this role in his life as he grew up as a human being on the face of this earth. To be there with his mother as he was brought into this world, to care for him, to nurture him, to provide for him. Because Jesus Christ was God, as much God as he was before he was born into this world, but he was still a helpless baby that needed to be cared for, protected, and provided for. And Joseph fulfilled part of that role in his life. What an example, often overlooked, but what an example Joseph portrays for us to be faithful fathers. Amen? Let's stand, please, for prayer.